made a comment to Jack and was talking about our nation, the state that it's in. It ain't just going to take this election. It's going to take years. You know, the Bible talks about when you have wickedness ruling, the people are sad. And God would raise up men and women and children to go and tear down those high places. The ones that were the wickedness, the Baals, they would bring up those temples. We, as a church, we got to tear down those high places. How do you get bad out? How do you get light into a dark place? You turn it on. Amen. You let your voice be known. See, you purge it out with good. You overcome evil with good. So, it's going to take not just one person, two person. It's going to take the whole body of Christ. See, as the nation is, as the family goes, somebody, Jack was talking about family. As the family is, so goes the nation. See, so we got to, there's a tide that's rising. There's a wave, there's a tsunami that's coming. It's the glory of God that's in His church is going to arise. Talking about these songs, we're going to arise. Let the church arise and let the enemies of God be scattered. See, until we arise, the enemy's going to sit there and mock you, make fun of you, talk about you're judging. No, I'm going to speak righteous. I'm going to speak forth bold like Peter did. Whether it be right to you, O judge, O king, I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to live the way God tells me to live. And I'm not going to stay in a box. I'm going to let the whole world, I'm going to be like a city that's set on a hill. That the whole world can see Jesus is in me. And He wants to get into your house. Amen. Amen. But He is the door. But you're the one to keep Him out. Right? So we let Him out. As a church, we got to let Him out. But we're going to go back. I'm going to take us back to our series the Lord gave me on talking about stability. Because I believe we're coming to a state, to a season in this nation to where we got to get some stability going on. Be stable when all chaos is happening. See, a lot of times we see chaos. God sees beauty. See, the world was chaotic at one time, and then He spoke, light be. He called forth the earth to bring forth, to bring forth, to bring forth. Deep calls to deep. Life speaks to death, speaks to darkness, and it has to flee. Amen? We are created in His image, in the Creator's image. We can be stable, but it's going to take us being humble. There's stability in humility. That was the lesson. I'm going to briefly talk about our keynote scripture and get us to where I wanted to pick up today. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7 says, likewise, this is what Jack was talking about, being subject one to another, respecting your elders, kids, respecting your parents. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed, say clothed, with humility. That's something you put on. For God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what your offering is. I bring it unto the Lord because He loves me. He said, just do it. Just honor the Lord with your possessions. And then He'll make, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. And we talked about how is this going to happen? How is righteousness going to come back to the nation? I looked at Jack and I said, how do you eat an elephant, Jack? One bite at a time. See, it ain't just going to happen overnight, but we got to start eating this thing. We got to start speaking to this thing. The scripture tells us to be clothed with humility. This is something I must put on myself. Just like I put on a coat to stay warm, I must put humility on so I can receive God's grace. And if I choose not to humble myself, I get into pride. And God said He will resist me. He still loves you, but He says He resists pride. So we're going to purpose in our hearts to understand what the Lord wants to teach us through this series, and we're going to be stable, say stable, and steadfast, no matter what we see or hear in this world. Humility is a Christian grace. It's a state of mind well-pleasing to God. Jesus showed us the great example of humility when he emptied himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. That was humility. He was God. He had done no wrong. He could have called 10,000 angels and not stayed on that cross, but he humbled himself even to the death of that cross because he loved us. Love counts the cost and says, I will, Father. See, Jesus counted the cost before he came. I'll be the sacrifice, Dad. Father, I will go. I will be that sacrifice. And he was committed. Being humble is a commitment. You've got to commit yourself to humble yourself. Not what I think, God, what do you think? What do you say? Who do you say to vote for, Lord? What do I look for? I look for God. Characteristics. Do they have to all be there? No. God just needs a willing heart. Amen? And somebody that stands for righteousness. Stability. Stability is the state or quality of being stable. And I like the best definition of this was the ability of an object such as a ship or aircraft to maintain or resume its original upright position after it's been displaced. After it's been displaced. Stability is I get back up. I'm stable. Yeah, I got knocked down, but I'm not done yet. A good boxer, you got how many rounds you got to go? Almost 10 rounds. You know, you want to get a knockout in the first round, but, you know, you're committed to go 10, right? Stability. If I get knocked down in the first round, I got to get up. I got 9 more to go. I got nine more rounds to take this sucker out before he takes me out. Well, Jesus, one of the songs we sang talked about the triumph. We have already triumphed victory, and Jesus has already won the battle for us. But I thought about a motorcycle. There's a motorcycle called a Triumph. It's one of the older ones, not real pretty, but that just stuck out to me. I'll just throw that in there. I thought about riding that motorcycle, knowing I had the victory. Amen. Triumph. I have the victory. And I encourage you to read 1 Peter 5, that whole chapter. I'm not going to go back through there. But to be a great leader, we must first be a humble follower. Jesus picked 12 disciples and told them, follow me. For 3.5 years, they followed him. And the Bible says, if everything was written that Jesus taught them and did, the libraries, the books, they couldn't hold the books. So we only get a glimpse of what actually happened in those 3.5 years. What does God want to do through you? We're given about 80 to 120 years down here. What can he do through you? Amen. There's still some bookshelves that need some books written about God. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Teach us. Show us, Jesus. Where I want to pick up today, this will be part 3. If you need a copy, let Kelsey know. There might be some out here, part 2 and part 1, but stay humble and you won't stumble. And there's one little message I preached one time. I'd have to dig back up the scientific part of it, but the bumblebee used to be called a humble bee, but the name got changed to a bumblebee. And the part of it was because the body is so big, if you look at a bumblebee, but the wings are so small. How can something so big have wings so small and be a great bee? But see, that the bumblebee don't look at himself. He thanks God for the way he's created him. He don't think of himself as having a big body and little wings. He just flies around and does what God created him to be. He's a humble bumblebee. Humility. Don't look at what I don't have. Look at what you do have. Because a lot of times if we're looking at what we don't have, we're looking at other people. Because we have, we're different. Made different. Amen? Stay humble and you won't stumble. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 16. I'm going to read these kind of quickly and then we're going to dig a little deeper in them. Numbers 12. Remember, this is Old Covenant now. We're going to start. This is Old Covenant. But remember, God is the same. The people had come in complaining. You know, Moses is the pastor. He's leading about 2 or 3 million people out of bondage. Say bondage. Leading them out of bondage. You ever had a bondage? I could raise both hands. Some addictions, some things that the sin that easily besets you. Well, it sometimes takes a little bit of time for God's grace and His power to set you free. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. I want you to think about Moses as being he is the pastor now. Spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. She was a Cushite. She was an African-American. She was not the same color as Moses. Can we see any of this going on in the world? Comparing yourselves because of color. They spoke against the pastor because of whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" They're not saying this in front of Moses' face, behind his back. "Hath he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord, Jehovah, heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek. Say meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness means humility. Moses was humble. And he was humble above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, just a little sidetrack here. Humble means you just respect what God has given you. You respect who you are in Christ. Moses wrote this. And Moses called himself the most meekest man on the whole earth. See, that's not prideful. That's just saying, "Lord, you have given me a heart for the people. And I'm humbly respect you for doing that. You've made me the pastor. Thank you, Lord." See, he's humble. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam and said, "Come out." He's pretty much, "Hey, time for a meeting." Coming to the tent of meeting. They're going to have a meeting. And I think God, Leslie can attest to this. I think God, Jim Howard, when something happened in the body, in the church, and he does not let things fester and boil. If there's something that needs to be taken care of, it's like Barney, you nip it in the bud. And just, that's the best way to do it. You keep it out. No strife, no envying, because there's a greater purpose here. They three came out, verse 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And God said, 'Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I'll speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful.'" God called Moses faithful in all my house. "With him I speak mouth to mouth." I don't have to speak to you when you're asleep, Reed. I'm going to come. I got something to share with you. I'm going to come face to face with you. I'm your friend. I tell you anything. "With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches." What is God saying to Aaron and Miriam here? If you got something to tell Moses, go to him and tell him. See, God's not being, "This is my man Moses. I've called him." No, he's saying, respect your pastor. Respect the one I'm using to speak to you. See, a lot of people take this like, "Whoa, man, God's just, whoa." No, he's showing a principle here. "With him I speak mouth to mouth, not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak unto my servant Moses?" God's pretty much saying, what you're saying about him, God's saying, you're saying about me. Because I chose Moses. I raised him up to be your deliverer. If only people would think about what they're saying about somebody else that God has created that person. Let's look to our nation. We got to pray for each candidate. Everybody. From the White House all the way down to my house. Amen. God looks at everybody the same. He loves everybody. From the White House to my house, they're all God's people. Now, they're not all serving Him. They're not, you know what I mean? He created them, but not everybody is serving Him. But remember, they are not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. We don't wrestle with the flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers that are in these high places, working through these people in these high places. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and He departed. And I want to say something right here. It's good to have righteous anger. When sin is abounding, grace does much more abound. You need to preach the truth. That's when you need to preach truth. If something's abounding, you need to let them know, hey, this is wrong. We're supposed to hate evil. To hate evil, you got to love people enough to tell them the truth, right? And verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. God said what He needed to say it. Real quick, didn't take long, right? And behold, Miriam became leprous. What is the wages of sin? Now, she didn't physically die, but leprosy, diabetes is a manifestation of death. It's not a manifestation of God. But it wasn't God that brought the leprosy. Miriam and Aaron brought it on themselves. And we're not looking at what you have. I'm not saying specifically. This is just one instance of that judgment of the pastor, of words, negative words spoken against God's leaders. Boom. And Miriam, I jump down here. Behold, she was leprous, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. I love this. David did the same thing. Lord, I have sinned. Forgive us. The best part, when you're dealing with something you don't know, first thing, just get it right with God. If you don't know where the problem is, Lord, forgive me. If I've done anything wrong, Lord, search my heart. Receive that forgiveness because it's freely given to you. And then get up. Aaron's still the priest. God didn't take him out of the priesthood. Miriam's still the leader of the worship team. But she did have to stay out of the camp for 7 days. Why? Ask God. That's what God said. Why does your kids, when they do something wrong, you take the keys from the car for a little bit, right? You got to put a principle here. I've heard some people say, I brought you into the world, I take you out. Look out now. Got to minister grace too, right? You're trying to set a principle though. But Aaron repented. See, he is the priest. It's kind of like the associate pastor. And let not one where we have sinned, verse 12, let her not be as one of dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when it come out of the mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord. He didn't look at Aaron and say, well, you know, God showed me you was talking about me. See, he didn't let their sin just go on. He didn't just promote what they did. No, he said, he cried unto the Lord. For them. He interceded to the Lord for them. Heal her now. O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had put spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. Thank God she was received again. Amen? See, there was a discipline that came, but God is there to restore. And Miriam was shut up from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not. In other words, the church didn't go on with the vision until somebody got restored. That's a good place for somebody to make a note right there. Won't you help somebody else with their vision, and God will help fulfill your vision. Amen? Get your eyes off of yourself and on everybody that you can help. And then God will supernaturally meet your needs in ways that you couldn't even, wow, God, how'd you do that? You honored Him. So you served God by serving others. And afterward, when she was restored, the people removed from Harris and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Now it's time to go on. Everybody, remember Jesus said, there's 99 sheep, but there's one that's lost out there. He went look and found him. He went and searched. See, Miriam, we're not going anywhere until she gets restored. She's a part of this plan. She's a part of the vision of the church. God didn't neglect her. But he had to get sin out of the camp. This rebellion, this speaking against the leader, speaking against God. That ain't going to take you to the promised land. Right? So the best thing you can do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, like Aaron did. Ask and receive your forgiveness. I want to hit this a little bit here. I couldn't help but comment on some as we went through. That's the word that just gets shut up in your bones. You got to let it out right then, right? Going back to verse 1. Notice that Miriam is listed first as opposing her brother Moses. This probably identifies her as the instigator. Not just probably the instigator, her as the leader in this rebellion, and gives understanding as to why God smote only her with leprosy and not Aaron. There is a difference between those who deceive and those who are deceived. In the New Testament, pretty much puts it this way, those that have more light or more accountable to the light that they have. In other words, we should know better than be deceived. If we know, the more we know in the Word, we should know better. But the Bible talks about that even the elect could be deceived. Why? Right here's a principle. They're not humbling themselves under God's mighty hand and receiving instruction from the Lord. Ethiopians were black and foreigners. This criticism was probably racial prejudice, but the root of it, help me, is pride. Pride, comparing themselves among themselves. See, that needs to be between God and Moses, what he does. We're not to judge, but we are to love. Amen? Yes. Moses is the leader. Pray for your leader. God will speak to that leader. Now, there's a difference between different sins and stuff. That's different. We have to do some reprimands there. But they were jealous of Moses' position and his authority. They were jealous of it. Numbers 12:2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. They were not saying that God didn't speak through Moses. They were just jealous of the fact that Moses was the only one the Lord was speaking through. They wanted people to listen to them too. Here I am. I got something to say. Now, the body of Christ, I mean, we have gifts. And there's times that we want the gifts to flow. People have a word, have a song. But, you know, not just because Leslie's here, but I was underneath Jim Howard for, 10, maybe 8, 10 plus years. There was times I'm like, I know what he's going to say next. I know where he's going with this. By the Holy Ghost. Because you get underneath the pastor, you get his vision. And I'm like, man, I'd like to stand up and just go ahead and preach this sermon right now. Finish it out for him. But see, it wasn't my time. See, that's Moses. Jim, that was Moses to me. That's my leader. That's my pastor. He's training me. I got to listen. I got to support him. Support him right now. And there would be a time Moses would climb the hill. Climbed the hill. Didn't nobody carry him up the hill. He climbed the hill full of length and strength and days because the Lord had told him, your time's coming. I like how Andrew Womack says, when his time goes, whether Jesus comes back or he goes by the grave, he says, I'm done. Somebody else is going to carry on now. You know, somebody else. I've ran my race, finished my course, and that's what Moses did. But then there was Joshua, the next in line. And then Joshua came, and look what he did. He carried on the vision. So don't get caught up in that little spirit of pride that wants to say that. Just keep honoring God. Keep doing what he's called you to do. Support one another. Amen. Support one another. Verse 3. There's stability in humility. Your life can be stable. Your finances can be stable. your family issues can be stable. I didn't say they'd be perfect, but there can be stability there. We're coming through this. Now the man Moses was very meek, just say humble, above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses wrote this. Therefore, many people's definition of meekness would have to be redefined. Because you go to a psychologist, they're not going to want you to... You start talking about all this, it's going to be selfishness. I'm confident in Christ. We can do all things through Christ. It's Christ's esteem, not self-esteem. So one of the qualities of meekness, humility, is not being self-sufficient or quick to defend ourselves. See, Moses didn't defend himself. God came down. Say down. God came down and defended his servant. You stand for righteousness. You do what God's called you to do, and he will protect you. He will fight your battle for you. He will. He will. He will. Amen? Because he's faithful. When other people are not, he's faithful. And he will find somebody that will be faithful. And if you miss it, Lord, I know I was supposed to do that. Somebody else did it. Just ask, Lord, forgive me. Give me another opportunity. And he will. It might take 7 days. It took Marion 7 days. And I'm not looking at leprosy. I'm talking about it might take 7 days before you get another opportunity. Or it might be quicker than that. How quick do you repent? Get back on your horse. Get back on the horse. Join the Pony Express. You had to been here. You had to been here Friday, Saturday night to understand that one. Friday night. I said Saturday, Friday night. Pony Express. Hey, we heard about a general. We heard about a general in the military. How old was he when he enlisted? 8 years old. And he was leading when he was around 11 or 12. Had a picture of him. And he lived to be in his 80s, 90s. Served in World War I. Started out when he was 8. See, it doesn't matter how old you are. It looks God's looking at your heart. Looking at your heart. Verse 4, and the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. They came out. The word suddenly in this verse signifies instantly. Instant pudding. You like something instant? Instant pudding. I bet Miriam and Aaron already regretted their criticism of Moses. That fast. Man. See, God hears and he answers. Amen. He answers prayers. Don't think he ain't quick. He's not slack like men, like we consider slackness. He's quick. Now, he is a God of mercy too now. He is a God of mercy. But this had to be dealt, this situation had to be dealt with quickly. Quickly. So when the adversary, when the devil is coming at you like a roaring lion, I know there's a lion from the line of Judah called Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the enemy has to be sustained. Amen? So you, remember, you got to put on that, clothe yourself with humility, but then you got to speak. You got to let your voice be heard. You got to let the name of Jesus, you got to let the devil know whose you are and declare it to him. You need to have some suddenly. We need to have some suddenlies. I'm sure this was an awesome manifestation of God's power. Miriam and Aaron were probably shaking in their boots. And see, that was an example that God had to set, a principle he had to set, that don't speak against your elders. Honor the people God has put in front of you to lead you. Amen. And remember now, this is old covenant. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse and from the judgment of God. But there still is correction. There still is reproof. But if I love my children, will I correct them, or will I let them be like Eli and let their sons just make abominable offerings unto the Lord? No, I got to correct them. There's perfection in correction. There's perfection in correction. There's a right way to do things. There's a right way to train your children. There's a right way to discipline them. God's way. It's always the best way, and it's the right way. And it's not giving them the law. It's giving them grace and love and mercy. And in that, showing them how much you love them. That's what's going to bring people to church. That's what's going to fill the pews up. Is love them here and keep loving them. Amen. Keep loving them. Keep showing them how much God loves them, because it's the love of God that leads people to repent. The love of God. Moses loved these people. He showed it by how quick he prayed for them. If he didn't love them, he would have said, "Lord, let that leprosy stay by another 2 weeks." That would not have been love. But Moses loved them. Immediately he prayed for them. Immediately. Amen. Now, that still is in the church today. It's called your flesh. A lot of times it's not even the devil. You see something, you know, there's people out there, they deserve that. No, they don't. People do not deserve hell, because Jesus paid the price for them. He paid the price for them. I used to say it before I got saved. They just need to go to, you know what? Nobody needs to go there. It was not created for man. It was created for Lucifer and his angels. Jesus, he is awesome. And he loves us unconditionally. Verse 7 says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house." God will not only fight your battle for you, he'll speak good about you. He'll say, "Come here, let me tell you. Let me tell you about my Moses, my pastor, the leader of my people. He's faithful." And he'll start giving you examples. Jesus did this to John the Baptist. Remember the story of John the Baptist? John was speaking up for righteousness, looking at that situation that was going on. Was it Herod? What was happening? Having incest? John spoke against it. "This ain't right. This ain't right. You're a leader." See, he wasn't a leader for God, but he was a leader. And God has put all men in places at his will. He says, "You're a leader and this ain't right." They cut his head off. Cut his head off. But Jesus, while he was in prison, you know, when you're locked up, I've never been there, thank God. Wouldn't want anybody. Jack could give us some testimonies about ministering in prison. But when you're locked up, you got a lot of time on your hands, a lot of time to think. Well, John the Baptist, his whole life, he was separated from his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Ghost, to stand and preach for righteousness, to prepare the way of the Lord. And he was doing it bold, standing there. And he got put in prison. And then he got to thinking, uh-oh, here we go. See, old mind. He got to thinking, is all this true? Is this real, or was this just a fantasy? Was this just a dream? It's what the devil wants to do. He wants to play with your vision. He wants to try to give you two. No, that wasn't your vision. Jesus heard it. Just like God heard about Moses. Jesus heard this doubt attacking John, his cousin. This was his cousin. By the Holy Ghost, he heard. And as Jesus, you know what he did when that happened and got locked up? Jesus started taking his, he took the message that John was preaching, he started preaching it. And then at one time, he actually fulfilled Isaiah when he started opening the eyes of the blind. And after he did this, he said, "Now go tell my servant John, this scripture has been fulfilled." He sent the word back to his cousin. And you know what that did? That encouraged him. Jesus talked about John. He said, "There's been no greater prophet unto John." And he started talking about him, how good he was, how great he was. God is there too. Man, he's there to exalt you and encourage you in your lowest, darkest time. Amen. And if you're not being encouraged by somebody, they're not speaking forth from God. Because he's always there to encourage you and lift you up. Yes. Lift you up. And notice in verse 11, when all this was happening and all this repenting was going on, Miriam didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. I think she, and we can all take this, I'm not just pointing fingers at Miriam, we need to be swift to hear. Get a hold of your tongue, because this is what can happen. There's life and death in the power of our words, right? And that word she spoke against God brought judgment from the devil. That leprosy hit her body. Amen. So we've got to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Because say what God wants us to say. What specifically does He want us to say? We're going to close right there today. And I think that really encouraged me. And I took that as God placed me in the office of the pastor here, that He really showed me how precious His word is. I graduated from South Iredell High School. I didn't go to college. I got out of school and I went to work. I bagged groceries. I bagged produce. I'm not this great intellectual, but God saw something in me, and I stand before you today because of Him. If I could look back where I was then and say I'm going to be a leader and pastor a church, I'd be like, I'd be like Moses said to God, but Lord, I'm not one of eloquent speech. I ramble on sometimes, and because Kelsey, she always corrects me. You know, you did a double negative, some whatever that means, or I don't know what a double negative is. I just get up here and preach the gospel. I tell you what Jesus wants you to know. Sometimes it might be funny. Sometimes you might cry a little bit. Very little times have I been emotional, but I tell you, last couple weeks, through being able to honor and speak for my brother-in-law, who was a veteran, at his funeral, I became emotional. But I thank God. I couldn't have done it without God. I never could have stood in front of a church about this size that was full of people that were wanting to hear from God, wanting to hear a good word. And God gave me the ability to stand there and do it, to honor a man that honored me as he served in the military. I didn't even know him back then, but got to know him and got to talk about Jesus. And see, had I not listened to God in certain areas of my life, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else. I'd be out of place. I'd be displaced. So it's real important that wherever God puts you, just to stay there and listen and be willing sometimes to do things that are not comfortable. Amen. I know Leslie, she led us in praise and worship for many years, and she says, I'm not a praise and worship leader. But she answered the call, and she was willing to do it and did a great job. I can remember Kelsey, she used to run the little projector for her. It was a projector, but it was one of my old ones. Black marker, the ones you slide up there real quick. And you had to have somebody with a steady hand because you had to. Kelsey was quick, you know, she was fast on that little screen. But we all do our part, and it makes life so much enjoyable. Amen? And that's what I found at this church, that people here know about how to serve God and serve others. Gary Price, Dr. Price, taught that, instilled that here, and is still teaching that, preaching that. Amen? Amen? So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this service today. Lord, it's been a different service. But, Father, we thank you, Lord, we've got some nuggets, we've got some principles about what it means to truly honor your people. And, Lord, it's only because of you. Jesus, we honor you, the work, the life that you live, and the example you set for us, that we can come into this place knowing that we are worthy to be here because of your relationship that you have reestablished back with our Father in heaven. And when we come here today, Father God, with open hearts and open minds to be able to hear and receive and to be able to see ourselves doing what you called us to do, full of life, full of health, free from all the shackles that the devil would try to bring upon us. We just break those chains right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't have to understand it all. All we got to do is believe your word. Believe in your power. And Lord, we can go out here and we can see the dead raised. We can see the blind eyes open. We can see all of these mighty miracles that are going to happen again throughout this body be manifested right in front of our eyes. Lord, not only do we believe it, we expect it. We expect it because you are in us, Lord, and you are always about helping somebody less fortunate. And we give you the praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.